What's up, my friend?
What's up? How you doing? Sister? You already know.
Cheers. Thank you for being here. Welcome, everybody, back to this podcast. It's called Hola Natasha, and I'm so excited to have you here. I have one of my good friends here, Jackie, that has such a story, and I just hope that one person can relate. And I know many will. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from DR, Dominican Republic. You know, I was born there.
Yeah.
Came to this country at the age of 10, I believe in
1982. Damn. No, I wasn't even born yet.
I'm going to go take it easy, okay? I'm going to talk about Brooklyn right now. Yeah, so I ended up in Brooklyn, man. And, you know, I'm a New Yorker. And I can say, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, because, you know, New York made me the person that I am today. You know, I didn't speak English. I had to somehow hang out with lots of people in order to understand, like, yo, I want to learn. Because at the school was so different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People will make fun of you. So, but I mean, think
about it. Were there a lot of Latinos back then?
Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, but I live in a very mixed community.
Okay.
You know, everybody was in there. You know, that area was like the melting pot, you know, world. You know, a lot of Hasidic Jewish people were live there. So they had a lot of, you know, a lot of the schools and the places where they pray, which I can't believe I forgot the name. But anyway, so I respect them, you know. I grew up in a beautiful community, you know. Nice. Brooklyn made me to be that person that I am today, you know. I'm loud. Of course, I love to dance. You already know.
I always laugh because every time we go out, you know, I've known you for what?
About 10 years. I mean, I went to your first party.
Yeah, you went. So I promote LGBT parties, right, in the D.C. area called Taste Takeover. I got the shirt right here. But I remember seeing this woman come through in flip-flops, and she was the life of the party. Like, you're an amazing dancer. I mean, you're a performer. We'll get more into that. But I was just like, I have to meet this person. And that's how we met. And we've built like such a beautiful friendship over the years. And I consider you my sister, you know, like it's your family. But growing up in New York, like, how did you find yourself? Like, did you find yourself like that you could identify with the people around you? Or did you find like you were always lost, like looking for?
I have to say something. I feel so blessed that I walked into a building. That was the building where I lived, 1135. 43rd Street, baby, you already know. You know New York, because I went to the streets.
Oh, shit, watch your life.
That's how excited I get. And, you know, my neighbors, you know, my best friend Debbie and her family, Puerto Ricans, you know, nice. They actually, her sister, she was going to the same middle school that I was going to go to.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, hanging out with her was a blessing. Nobody could touch me.
Nice.
So it got to a point in where, you know,
you're protected.
I made sure I was protected because around in the 80s, there was a lot of gangs. So you have to be careful, you know, just being in the streets and stuff. But, you know, like, I needed them. They were my family. They're still my family. And I just feel so blessed that I was able to find,
amazing,
you know, my peeps.
Yeah.
I learned the slang because I was in the streets hanging out with everybody, all of them. You know, I was in.
Amazing. And how long did it take you to learn English?
That's a good question. Oh, my God.
It took me like, I mean, I was 7, so it took me like 6 months, and I was like,
wow, that's cool. It took me, because then they put me in a bilingual program, and that thing messed me up. So I would say like 10, 15, even in college, I was taking ESL classes.
Wow.
It was so hard. It was like Spanish, English.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I still became a teacher.
Yeah, there you go. So how did you
teaching a dual language, English in the morning and Spanish in the afternoon.
That's amazing.
So think about it. Like, from that, I'm a teacher now. Come on.
Yeah. So how did you end up, like, I mean, your adolescence until what you wanted to become? Like, did you know what you wanted to do? Did you go to school? Where'd you start working? Like, what was your process?
My first job was like McDonald's.
I always wanted to work.
I
always wanted to work at the drive-thru, yo. I always want to be like, can I take your order?
Like, I used to take those burgers home at the end of the night because they were both dumping me the trash. I'm like, no, I will feed the block. I will feed the flock. Everybody knows Jackie will come down with a bag.
Stop.
Yo, that's for a, real.
That's what's up. So did you become a teacher?
Well, the thing was that I went to college. You know, I have a college degree.
Where'd you go for?
Well, I went to Brooklyn College.
Okay.
Of course, Brooklyn, you over it. Come on now.
All right.
And I studied, actually, my degree is Latin American Studies.
Really?
Puerto Rican Studies.
Okay.
I do have a degree in Women's Studies, too, because I took 18 credits. That's a lot of credits.
That's a lot of credits.
Tell me that. It's not even on my thing. I'm like, Latin American Studies? No, I'm about Women's Studies. I did all that.
Nice. Did you know what you wanted to do in life or no?
Everybody wanted to do, be a teacher so you have the summer off. That's what I wanted to become a teacher. Everybody wants to become a teacher because you know you get the summer off.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
It's hard
doesn't work.
Work.
It's freaking
hard. And they're so underpaid. Shout out to all the teachers.
Yo, my sister retired as a teacher. You know?
They're super underpaid.
It's horrible. Underpaid.
But amazing. So you did that. So tell me how you ended up here, because you live in Maryland. How'd you end up in Maryland from New York?
I mean, think about it. Back in the days, in the 90s, I used to be a go-go dancer. For what? all the gay...
I'm not gonna surprise. I already know all this.
But it's like...
You used to be a go-go dancer you were in the scene.
Yes, I was the principal dancer for, you know, a lot of the clubs. And I already
shout out to a couple of the clubs.
Yo, the Click Club, baby. You're in the number one, the Click Club. How about Hershey Bar, baby? Oh, number two.
What year was this?
Oh my God, 1990. I came out in 1996.
You came out of the closet in
1996. Came out, that's going to the Click Club by myself.
Anybody that goes to the Click Club,
I said.
Wait. Let's back up real quick.
Wait.
So, how did you come out? Because you were engaged to a guy.
Yeah, I was engaged to a man, a wonderful man.
Okay.
Who was very loving to me.
From where?
Of course, Puerto Rico. A true Puerto Rican.
Shout out to Puerto Rico.
Hey, honey, 6 years. Six years. Yeah.
So did you know you liked women during that time or no?
I always liked women, but I just didn't understand what was happening to me. But I always did. Middle school, honey, I used to watch all my girls in the gym, like play basketball. I was like, oh, God.
You're like, I love her.
But I didn't even know what the hell that was. Yeah. All I knew was like.
Like many of us. We all struggle with that. Like what's happening to us?
I have a boyfriend. I'm good. You know what
okay,
I'm saying?
So fast forward with him. How did you, what's the story behind you wanting to experience with women and how you got out of that relationship and started being with women?
Well, the thing, I went to a party with him.
Okay.
And then there was a circle.
What kind of circle?
Dancers, baby, dancers. Okay. So it was time for me to show off my moves. But then there was this one girl, and I was like, oh, my God.
You're like, I want to be
her. I already knew. I was like, oh, my God, what am I feeling something about this woman? And I would look at him like, no, I love you. You know what I want? So then, oh my God. So then after that, I was just like, to make a long story short.
Yeah.
Boom. I start talking to him.
Did he know?
Oh, no, it was like nothing. It was like, we were just like friends. I was dancing, and then she was like, oh, sorry.
Like in the bedroom or on the...
No, on the dance floor. Oh, okay. We'll get there later.
All right. Yeah, Jenny. Jenny has so many stories.
So anyway, to make a long story short, that happened. And at that time, I was driving a shitty car because my father used to give me all these shitty cars.
What kind of car?
Oh, a Toyota 19. I don't even know what the fuck.
I had a 92 Celica.
My shit was like falling apart. But I would go to Brooklyn College. And also, I would take my ex-fiancé to Bushwick.
Wait, ex-fiancé? I got it.
Yeah, I would drive home after we were done partying or whatever.
Okay.
Like, I was just driving home. Yeah. I didn't never had to take the train anymore.
Okay. So how did you end that relationship and, like, realize?
Well, what happened was that person that I met in the circle, so when that happened.
We
fucking dance. And then from there. I told him, wait, no. I actually broke up with him for 1 week.
So how did you leave him? Like,
Well, after the thing, wait, hold up a minute. I want to explain something to you. I love this man very much, and I have a lot of, you know, respect for him. He was, the loyalty he had was just incredible. So, I never wanted to cheat on him. Right. I always wanted to tell him the truth.
Good for you.
So I did. I said, Tony,
which is rare.
Like, I'm looking at this woman. I don't know what this means. I don't know if it's I'm bisexual or I'm a lesbian, but I don't want to cheat on you. I'm not going to go behind your back to hurt you because it's not fair. So what I did was I told him I need like maybe a week off, you know, us, and let me just try to figure this out. And of course, no disrespect to him. He asked me, can I just watch?
Of course. Like any man can watch or join.
I was like, no.
You're like, oh, shit.
It ain't going to happen. It's not supposed to happen. So
how do you take that?
I mean, he gave me the respect. I don't know. I don't remember talking to him about how he felt, but he did respected me. And that's what I'm talking about. He was able to do that. And
he loved you.
And that's it. Yeah. It was pure love. And that's what it takes to love someone.
Yeah.
That's what it really takes.
It's amazing.
So I just went off and created.
You just went to the click club?
No, I didn't go to the click club. I went to my room. What are you talking about? Daggies, bro. What are you talking about, bro? In Brooklyn. It was like, everything was like
black. I want to see how many times during this episode you say Brooklyn. I'm going to count. We're going to have a tally. I think it's going to be over 30 times.
Mamita. That's how we do. Oh. That's how we represent Brooklyn. And Brooklyn, you already know.
Cheers to Brooklyn. Cheers.
Thank you. Hello.
All right. So did you fall in love with this girl?
I don't think I was in love. I don't think I was ever in love with, in the beginning.
Yeah.
No, I think I was infatuated and I was excited and I was just out.
Yeah.
And being out was everything to me. Wow. So out meant being with every woman that I wanted to be. And that's exactly what happened.
Amazing.
Every woman that I wanted, I had.
But and because you were also a go-go dancer.
I was very popular, a performer. I was in magazines.
People would fly out to see you. And back then, they didn't have the cell phone, the social media.
I mean, there was on the parades. I was on the parades on the float with every... There was a lot of popular drag queens at that time. Remember, this is the 90s where music was everything. Coming out was everything. Women came out in the 90s like crazy. I ended up going to England to perform. I was in Manchester doing a show with Julie Talentino, who is the promoter of the Click Club. She was the one that, she brought all these women together, and her ex-wife too. And I'll be honest with you, it was a celebration of life in the 90s. And I became totally popular because I saw that stage when I walked in to the Click Club by myself. And I said, holy shit, I want to get up there. That's where I want to go. I want to get up there. But then I met all these Puerto Ricans, Dominicans. I was like, hanging out with them. We're hanging out, breaking night. Every night, it was a party. But then when I got up on stage.
So you made it. You got up on stage.
Yeah. And guess who was my DJ?
Who?
And I'm going to say, Jackie Christie. You already know my sister, I love you. Jackie Christie. It's like, think about Sid, right?
Yeah.
Think about Sid. The same comes with you and Taste
and
Sid, right?
Right.
That was me and Jackie. We understood each other. We would dance. I would dance on the stage. I look at her. She'll play a house beat or like a Latin house. And
ooh,
she
Latin
knew.
House.
And we would just go crazy together.
Wow. And didn't your brother like go see you? And like, he was like, all these women are.
I always invited my brother. So he always came through. And my brother was like, yo, my sister, yo, all these women want you. I was like, I know.
You're like, I know.
But
wow.
I lived. How about that?
You lived.
I lived. I can never say.
But what's crazy to me about you is that your energy, right? Is you have more energy than me. Like, you are the life, like, you bring life, you bring, como, alegría, you know what I mean? Like, people are happy when you're there. People miss you when you're not. Like, your presence is very like como se dice, como not like addictive, but like it's
magnetic.
I'm gonna say it's a magnetic, like it's there are no words to describe like what you bring to when we go out, when you come over, like you're just such a happy person and you have so much energy and you just, I love that about you.
But I'll be honest with you, it's because also I work on myself, you know?
Yeah. Well, you did, so that takes us to
the
next.
And it's hard to work on yourself because when you work on yourself, that means you have to face your demons, right?
And it's a work in progress every single day.
Some people
never do it. Some people,
those that do it, you know, it's okay. It's hard, but you don't have to jump in fully. You know, I decided to do it. I decided to do it for my own peace.
Yeah. I love that.
You know, because that's what it takes.
Why are you getting emotional?
Because, you know, when I talk about this, it's, I feel a sense of joy. So I cry. Not because I'm feeling emotional, but it's just I'm a very expressive person.
Yeah.
You know, on the dance floor, I'm very expressive. The way I you know, when I talk,
yeah, I'm just a very passionate
person, and I don't care about tearing. I don't care about crying. That's part of being human.
I mean, crying is strength.
It's such a you're not being a sensitive. You're not sensitive. You're strong. And you're letting out maybe stuff that needed to come out.
Yeah.
So that makes you feel free.
You're feeling.
Exactly. And people are so afraid of that. I'm not. I'm like, this is what you see.
This is who you are.
Yeah, exactly. If I want to cry, I'm not going to be embarrassed and dry my tears because I don't want to cry next to you. Because that's, what is that saying about me?
Yeah. So how did you end up in Maryland? From New York.
Well, I can tell you that in 2001, we all know what happened. 9/11 hit, and I was in my late 20s or late 20s. I was at that time. Working with this friend of mine from college, we were working on a Bollywood Broadway show.
Wow.
And I was the director of choreography.
Wow.
And also we did poetry in this show.
I didn't know that.
I had to switch it to whatever.
You have it on like VHS?
VHS. VHS. So, it was called Wrong. Wrong means colors, shades of my soul. And it was all based on dance and poetry. So a lot of my poetry is in there, too.
We need those video clips.
Yes. There's lots of pictures that I have. I'll bring them to you.
Yeah.
Of the show. It actually happened after 9/11. But during that time, I was with someone. She lived with me.
Okay.
She worked on the 13th floor. At the towers. Yeah, the towers. And she was working there for years now, you know. I would go there and have lunch with her. We'll have lunch outside. And I used to always look up at the building. I was like, oh my God, it's so loud. Yeah.
Wow.
But there was always a party every Thursday, a Latin party, on the Windows of the World. And I believe that was 110th floor, something like that. Right up, up there. I went for my first party. I remember I was like, yo, Jackie. Her name was Jackie. Also Jackie. I said, Jackie, look at that. And this is August 2001 when it happened. I mean, when I actually went to the club.
Yeah, yeah.
And we looked down. It's like, oh, my God. Everybody was like, hands out there. Look at this. Crazy. But we danced the whole night. We had a good time. We danced. We made it happen, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, I was working I think I was working there on Fridays at the gym, the Marriott, teaching aerobics. I was just on the aerobics instructor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've
been done it all.
Girl, I used to work at Bally's. I know people know Bally's back in the days, in the 90s, right? Yes. So there was one on my block because I, you know, I was the superintendent of the building. I was a super. I had two buildings, but I was a super. Yes. Yeah, I had two buildings. But anyway, to make a long story short, so 9/11 happened. Right, I'm home. Jackie already went to work. I was trying to clean because I had the day. It was flexible. I didn't have to work during the day. I worked that in the afternoon.
Right.
Make my money. So, boom, her mother calls me. And she, I pick up the phone. She's like, where's my daughter? She's already went to work. What? I said, she went to work. What happened? Jackie, do you know what happened? I'm like, no, what happened? Turn on the TV. Just turn it on right now. So I turn on the TV.
You had no idea.
No, I didn't know. I was cleaning the place. I didn't know what was happening. So I grabbed the you know, I turn on the TV and I see the second plane hit the other building. I said, what the hell? I don't see the blinking light. What's going on? So that's what her mother said. We've been attacked. Go get my daughter. Go get my daughter. Please go get my daughter. So I hang up the phone. Listen, I didn't even shower, brush my teeth. I just put on my clothes, walked outside. I lived on 59th Street between 1st and 2nd. I can see the towers on fire from the corner. And I'm on 59. That shit is downtown.
Yeah.
And I can see the buildings on fire. So I told a cop that was in the corner. I said, excuse me, are the trains working? I need to go get my girlfriend. She's in there. So he was like, look. Oh, no, it was a she. I'm sorry, it was a she. I'm trying to remember everything because it was a confusing time for everybody. So I said, okay, so the 4th train is not working. The 5th train, forget about it. Get the 6th. It's still working. Go now. Yo, I ran. I don't even know how. I don't even remember. But I ran so fast and I got there. I took that fucking 6th train. No one knew what was happening. It was like people reading the newspapers. I'm walking in there crying. And I'm like, excuse me. I was the loudest. I said, do you know that we got attacked right now? 2 planes hit the towers. And everybody was like, what? And then when people kept coming into the building, then everybody started talking. But boom, like maybe 20 minutes later, we got stuck. We got stuck on the train.
Oh, my God. For how long?
3 hours.
Oh, and you had no idea what was happening?
No. 3 hours in that train. So then what I did was I just started like just thinking, Jack, you know, just at that moment, you don't know what to think, but you think positive. Yeah. This is why you get, you know, tested. And they're telling us that you have to get out to maybe walk on the tracks. So I'm thinking about the rats. I'm thinking about the electricity that goes on on the tracks. I was so nervous. I was so damn nervous. So when I get out, they put all these trains together, right? All the trains were together. So we were able to walk. All, you know, just the line.
So you
of
got cars. Out and you were walking the
walking
tracks.
Walking the tracks. Not outside the track. No, inside the train.
They yeah,
the train. Right. So then all the cars, we were walking, walking, walking. Just kept walking, walking until we got to City Hall. And then right there, I come out. I see people on the streets, like people filled with like white stuff. I don't know. But all I know, it was just, it looked bad. But I still didn't know what was happening. I still didn't know about Jackie. I didn't have a quarter. The phone stopped working. I asked people for 25 cents because I needed to call a hospital.
But all the phone lines were...
Everything was dead.
Was down.
So I kept walking and walking. I even walked with this lady that was full of debris. I mean, she had everything and she explained, but I never knew what was happening. See, I was walking like a damn zombie. I didn't know anything. All I know is I just had to keep walking and walking. So I kept walking and walking and walking and walking and walking until I get to 57th Street. And 7th Ave. Right there, I asked for a quarter. And I called, I don't even know how I called Jackie's best friend. I don't know even. Know,
you got through.
I got through. And then that's when she said, yo, I haven't heard from Jackie. Have you heard from her? And I said, no. What's going on? Well, those buildings, when they collapse, I'm like, what? Yeah. What do you mean? What? And right there, the jets started flying. All these jets are going, what the fuck? No. That happened. I didn't know. I don't understand what's going on. And that's when I just lost it completely because I didn't even know the buildings collapsed. I was completely confused. I was like a zombie. New York
like
was
everybody
where,
was.
Everybody was a zombie, and I'm just trying to find my girlfriend. You know, like where is she?
Did you
know?
Find her?
So when we got down to 50, I went 57, right?
Yeah.
So I went down the east side. I'm the west side, so I went down to the east side. So
right.
57 and 7th. So I went down, you know, 6. Still walking, bro. Then I make that right on 2nd Ave on 58, 59. Jackie was in the corner.
Oh, my God.
Right there waiting for me. It was amazing.
That's incredible.
That was like
I'm so happy you found her.
Yeah,
you still
I found
talk to her today?
We tried, but no.
Oh, but I mean, I'm glad
but
she
we
was
always
safe.
Remember that day. We always remember. I know that she will always remember that day. I know I will always remember that day.
Of course.
She is a special person because, you know, we've been through a lot. And 9/11 was a lot for us. for the world. But it was imagine, like, we lived right there.
Yeah, you were right there. I smelled that.
And
that's got to have an effect on you.
Of course, it does.
For so many of us, but you were right there, and I can't imagine.
Yeah, and to see how many people have died, and then to have friends right now that have certain problems, and they lost so many loved ones because of 9/11, you know, from the asbestos. I know I smell some of that because I lived right on in the city, so I smelled it. I smelled something. It was bad. It was just like, I actually can still smell it. That's how strong it was. It's crazy. But then you listen, 9/11 made it happen. You know why? In a way, it was a horrible thing. But my God, I was born again. You know, I was born again. I started meditating, and meditation saved my life. You know, I started meditating this yoga that when I close my eyes, I feel this cool breeze, this beautiful feeling. I learned to forgive myself and forgive others. I became a different person. And then the voice that I heard while I closed my eyes was, you got to leave New York.
Wow.
And that's why I left.
And that's why I left New York.
And I ended up in Maryland. I met someone in the practice who became my instrument. And if it wasn't for her, I would not be here.
It's fucking incredible. Yeah, cheers to that story.
All right.